مسعود عقبة بن عمرو الأنصاري البدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت رواه البخاري. He said عليه رحمة الله الإمام النووي that عن أبي مسعود عقبة بن عمرو الأنصاري البدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تفتحي فاصنع ما شئت رواه البخاري. This hadith has been quoted from the companion of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Abu Mas'ud. So like we have always been mentioning, there is no companion we have read about whom we have read his hadith except that he has a kunya. There is no companion that has been mentioned here except that his kunya has been mentioned. It is a strange thing amongst the companion not to have a kunya. It's not known that there is a companion without a kunya. Whether the kunya is known or unknown. And in his own case, he is popularly known as his kunya Abu Mas'ud. Some of them became popular like that from their kunas. They became known with it, both male and female. It is from the sunnah of Islam that Muslims take upon the use of kunas. But in its stead, what is common is the use of brother, so-and-so, sister, so-and-so, auntie, so-and-so. This is what is common. The use of kunya is so common and known amongst them, such as the son is prohibited to call his father by his name, but is permitted to call him by his kunya. The son is prohibited to call his father by his name. If a man has a son, and his name is Ibrahim, his son can't call him Ibrahim. But if his son knows his kunya to be, for example, Abu Abdurrahman, his son can call him Abu Abdurrahman. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, alayhi rahmatullah, in his book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he has made a tabweed on that. He has singled out a section on that. That a son can call his father by his kunya. And he brought two narrations, one higher than the other. He brought the narration where Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma called his father Umar ibn al-Khattab by his kunya Abu Hafs. And he brought another riwayah wherein the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, Salim, called his father Abdullah ibn Umar by his kunya Abu Abdurrahman. So it's like from the father down and down. So from the istinbat that Imam al-Bukhari made from those narrations, which showed in his titling of the section, in his heading of the section, is that the son, the child can call his father by his kunya. So don't be surprised if you have a son, he calls you Abu Fulan. Your son calls you Abu Fulan. Dad, call me Abu Fulan. Am I your mate? Call me daddy. This is another thing that is common. People like their children to call them daddy. It is difficult to say that it is wrong. Like the best of guidance is in that upon which the Prophet was, alayhi salatu wasalam, and his companions, radiallahu anhu. So they were used to calling themselves by their kunya. The children called their fathers by their kunya. So our children should call us by our kunya. Someone has had to challenge me, Abba, why is your son calling you? Say, yes, that is the sunnah of the Muslims. So we should let them know. And we should also give them kunas. People should give children kunas. I think we've mentioned this a number of times, that even children, both male and female, should have kunyas. So they are called by their kunyas. So if you have children whose ages vary in the house, one doesn't have to say brother so, sister so, like kufa. This use of the word brother so, sister so is known. It's known from the ways of non-Muslims, especially in this environment where we are. So instead of saying brother and sister, we should use the kunas of people. If they don't have kunas, we should mention their names to encourage them to have kunyas. So it's important that people have kunyas because it is from the ways of the Muslims. So someone can ask, what is the evidence for that? From the evidence is that they will say jariyan amalu salaf salih. Jara alayhi amalu salaf. That was what the actions of the companions was upon. So jariyan amalu salaf salih is also hujjah. The Muslims don't know any other thing apart from that one. And the reason why it became hujjah is because Allah has prohibited us from acting upon a way against the way of the companions and those people. In that verse in Surah An-Nisa, it says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So as far as naming is concerned, from the سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ is that they took kunas. So they say, جَرْيَانَ عَمَلُ سَلَفُ السَّلَفُ. So this companion, Uqba, his own kunya is what? Abu Mas'ud. And his name is Uqba ibn Amr al-Ansari al-Badr. You see, al-Ansari makes us understand that he was from the Ansar, from those who were residents in Medina before the Muhajirun came from Makkah. That's from being an Ansari. And being a Badri could mean many things. But what it is commonly known in this Ummah is that the companion partook in Ghazwatul Badr. That is, he took part in the battle of Badr. So this could mean that this companion took part in the battle of Badr. But it could also mean that he lived in Badr. And this is what is correct regarding this companion, Abu Mas'ud Uqba ibn Amr. The Uqba ibn Amr took residence in the place called Badr, the same Badr that we know. It is referred to as what? Al-Badr. Not because he took part in the Battle of Badr. So those who took part in the Battle of Badr, they are called Badriyun also. Those who took part in the Battle of Badr, about 313, or thereabouts, they are called Badriyun. Amongst the companions, it's like saying someone is a general or field marshal. It's a status of honor amongst the companions. He took part in the battle. Yes. Oh, my father took part in Badr. It's a thing of honor from the companion. And from why it is honor is that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that why do you know that Allah has forgiven all those people who took part in the Badr and said to them, do what you like, I've already forgiven you. Just do what you like, forgiving you. So it's a thing of honor amongst the companions. So what is established regarding this companion is that it is not that he took part in the Battle of Badr, he took part in the Battle of Uhud and other battles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not Badr. And he is referred to as Al-Badri because he took residence in the place called Badr, the same Badr that we know. Some of the scholars like Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim and others insist, alayhim rahmatullah, that he is from those who took part in the Battle of Badr. But some of us, like Imam Musa ibn Uqba, like Al-Imam al-Zuhri, like Al-Imam ibn Ishaq, like Al-Imam ibn Sa'd, the one who wrote At-Tabaqat, and others say that no, he is not from amongst those who took part in the Battle of Badr. And many of the scholars who came after them have taken to this opinion. Aside to those of them that have been mentioned. Al-Badri means here that he was resident in Badr. And his name is Uqba. His kunya is what? Abu Mas'ud. He is reported to have had about 200 narrations scattered around in the books of Hadith. So he could be considered from amongst those who were busy with learning. Because for a companion to have 200 narrations, it means he was busy with learning. He was engaged with knowledge. And it spread. Radiallahu anhu. So he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي أثنى مجد. That إن مما أدرك الناس. That certainly مما أدرك الناس. From what the people have met. And the relics of the message of the past that the people have met. الإمام الحافظ بن حجر عليه رحمة الله. He says, all the riwayat has adrak an-nasu. He says, wa yajuzu an-nasu. But we can say adrak an-nasa. So we go by the riwayat. So, he says, inna mimma adrak an-nasu. What, from what? Mimma adrak an-nasu. From those things that people have come across, that people have gotten. Min kalamin nubuwatil ula, from the messages or from the message of the earlier messengers or prophets, from those things they have gotten from the earlier prophethood or from the earlier messages that had come from the time of Nabi Adam, from the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu. Because they met many things. There were so many things that were met. So one of them is this. From those things that was met is the fact that أَنِ عَبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, that Allah alone is deserving of worship, and that man must abstain or refrain from taking other than Allah for worship, is from what mankind have met. And that was why in Safat, when he was saying that إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا كِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ وَقَالُوا أَإِنَّا لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونٍ. It says, بَلْ جَاءَ بِالْحَقِّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. It says, they are a group of people that, if they are told, the mushrikun, that accept, don't worship any other than Allah. يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. They go away in arrogance. That is, they understand that it is the truth, but they deliberately reject it. Allah says, بَلْ جَاءَ بِالْحَقِّ. This Rasul, this messenger, Jabil Haq, what he has come with is the truth. وصدق المرسلين. And it is in confirmation of those who have come before him from amongst the messengers. So that makes us understand that from what he has also gotten from those messengers is this kalima la ilaha illallah. The same thing believed in those prophets. That those prophets must be believed at their times, each of them. At the time of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, La ilaha illallah, and that Adam must believe. And then Nuh, alayhi salam. And then, those who came before them. So, from those messages, there are a lot of them. From that is that anyone who kills must be killed. It is from what has come from messages down. Anyone who kills must be killed. And many others that the ulama have mentioned. In some passages of the Quran, you see some bulk messages. He says, أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَصَّى. Allah is started to tell us, أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. So from those messages too, لَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَى. So many all of these are from those messages too. So he said here, alayhi salatu wasalam, from those things too, they were not abrogated. Ulama said there are three kinds of messages that have come to this ummah from other ummah that had gone past. The ummah or the communities of the rest of the prophets before the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The remnants of their messages are of three forms. The first form, or the first of the form, are those ones that came and they were affirmed by this Sharia. Like all of what we have mentioned. They were in previous messages, they were affirmed in this message. There were some that had come and they were rejected in this message. These three. We met them, yes, this was from past messengership, but they were, you know, abrogated in the message of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third group are those that there is no evidence to say that they were affirmed, and there is no evidence to say that they were rejected. So we keep silence regarding them and ask from the guidelines of those that were affirmed and rejected to know what we will do in the case of those regarding which adoption or rejection was not mentioned. These are the three forms. From all of these three kinds, from those messages, or from those messages of the past prophets that had come in this ummah, here briefly, inna mimma adraka an-nasu min kalam an-nubuwwati al-ula. If you go and check Sahih Bukhari, this hadith says to be in Bukhari, and it is in Sahih Bukhari. But there is no al-ula in the riwayah of al-Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih. If you remember when we did the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, hadith of Sadiq al-Mas'ud, we mentioned that in the same single hadith, there are some wordings that will be there that are not in the wordings of maybe Bukhari and Muslim that's mentioned by Imam al-Nawawi. They are in other riwayah, but it is the same hadith. Like the one who is rejecting the presence of nutfa. That inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi arba'ina yawman nutfat. It says this word nutfatan does not occur in the riwayah of Imam Bukhari and Muslim. You say yes, but it occurs in other riwayah. He said, the brother, that he wrote a book, we know him, Jamal Zarabozo. He said he had checked all the reports, he didn't see. It cannot exist, it does not exist. Now if it exists, it will change the meaning. He said, oh, the riwayah is existent. If you remember, we mentioned where those riwayahs occur. One that comes to mind is in the book, Gharib al-Hadith of Al-Imam Ibrahim Al-Harbi, Ibn Ishaq Al-Harbi. The riwayah occurs there. It's also in Sunan Mu'jam al-Kabir of Al-Imam al-Tabarani, Abu Sulaiman. Alayhi rahmatullah. The mention of that was his name. The nutfatan occurs. That it does not occur in the report of Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim does not mean that that riwayah is Muslim. If we remember, that riwayah, that report of nutfatan occurs and it's mentioned to be authentic ala shart al-Imam al-Bukhari, yani ala shart al-Bukhari, on the conditions of Imam al-Bukhari. So, this word, al-Ula, does not occur in Sahih al-Bukhari. But it occurs in the Musnad of al-Imam Ahmad. It also occurs in the Sunan of al-Imam Abu Dawud, alayhi rahmatullah. Someone can come say, this Imam says it's in Bukhari. I go and bring Bukhari and he does not see there. It occurs in other riwayat. So, why then did he not mention Abu Dawud and Ahmad when he has used the wording? So he does not do anything. It's the same hadith. And he had told us in the Muqaddimah that Ya'tani Mada Al-Ikhtisar. He is taking interest in what? Brevity. Summarizing the whole matter. Maybe he has 320 words of a hadith, and only one of the words does not occur in the riwayah that he has brought. La yadurru. More so when he is interested in getting everything in summary. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna mimma adraka an-nasu min kalam an-nubuwwati al-ula idha lam tastahyi tasna' ma shi'ta, is that idha lam tastahyi tasna' ma shi'ta. Ulama say this expression has three meanings. That the word idha, the expression idha lam tastahyi tasna' ma shi'ta, it has three meanings. The first meaning that has been given to it is that this word tasna' ma shi'ta is amrun litahdid, is an order to show, to warn. He's ordering us and at the same time warning us. Because what it means is that if you are not ashamed, do what you like. But if you are not ashamed, so you do what you like. So what it means is that if you are not ashamed, asna ma'shi. Do what you like and see the consequence. It's warning us. Like he said, fa'budu ma'shi'tum min duni. So worship what you like aside from me. Is it telling us that we should take the shirk? No. He says, worship what you like and you see. So he follows, he says, إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَاسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Even when this one is giving us a choice, but it also indicates that an ability to do what one likes, like even taking to disbelief. So these kind of statements is considered as a tahdid, a warning, wa'id. If you try it, you see. So that is the first implication, that إذا لم تستحي, if you are not ashamed of yourself, if you are not a bashful person, if you don't feel haya, if you don't have shyness, if you are not a shy person, if your heart is bereft of shyness, being shy, fasna ma'shi, do what you like. So the first expression is that it's indicating a warning that do what you like and you'll also get the appropriate punishment if you do what you like. The second meaning that the scholars have given is that they say fasna ma'shi is lil khabar, al amru lil khabar. That is, it is those who are not shy that do what they like. إِذَا لَمْ تَفْتَحِي, if you are not shy, فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ, you will do what you like if you are not caught up by shyness. It is just anything you like you to do. He's telling us information that those who do what they like do so because they are not shy. So that is the second meaning that has been given to this expression. Those who will do what they like, or if you are not shy, if your heart is bereft of shyness, you will do what you like. Like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. The one who will deliberately put up a lie and attribute it to me, let him seek a place. That is, he will seek a place. He's giving us information. He's seeking a place by his doing that in the fire. So it's applicable here also in the second meaning that we are mentioning, that إذا لم تستحي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ, that if your heart is bereft, if your mind does not feel any shyness at all, فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ, you will be doing what you like. The third meaning that has been given to this expression, all of them are correct. So the one who wants to quote the hadith will put it based on the circumstance that he is referring to. All the three meanings are correct. The third one is, إِذَا لَمْ تَفْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ, is that if you are not shy, there is something you want to do, and that thing does not cause you to be shy with Allah or to be shy with human beings, then do it. If there is something you want to do, regarding which you don't need to be shy with Allah, it's not from those things you should be shy with Allah. Because from those things one must be shy with Allah is, you must be shy not to act upon something that Allah has prohibited. You must be shy. You must be shy of Allah. You must also be shy not to do something that is from the makruhat. At least like drinking while standing. Some of the scholars say it is makruh. So people still drink while standing. See why you drink while standing? Say it's makruh. Should you not be shy that you are doing something that is makruh? And some of them will be left. You say, why are you drinking with it like this is haram? And it's agreed upon. So There is none of them that is right. To do something that is prohibited, someone must be shy of Allah. To do something that is ordained, that is makruh, disliked, someone must also be shy of him. But if the thing is from the things that are permissible, then fasna mahshir. Do it because you don't need to be shy. It's not something regarding it. Shyness is demanded, whether from Allah or from human beings. Except if that thing is permissible, but at the same time, when you do that within people, you will feel some bashfulness, you will feel some shyness. From that is going about without wearing a cap. People want to say, we want to show that it is right. Someone is not ashamed, he's going about without a cap on his head. He's not ashamed. He needs to be ashamed. Or opening the chest. See, brother, please come and say, ah, it's not my aura. You should be shy. You should be shy of doing that. So yes, even when we can say it is not haram, it may be difficult also to say that it is makruh. We are not shy to say that. And it is not difficult to say that people will not like to, man, come on, man, come on, your chest. So don't also do that. There are many things like that. Even amongst women, it's worse. It's worse. More especially when it is difficult to make a tahdeed of the aura of a woman to a woman. When it is difficult to establish, based on proof, the aura, it is not impossible to establish the aura of the woman to a woman. But it is a difficult thing. Because anyone who says it, anything, if you ask him what is the proof, he will find it difficult to establish. But it is possible to establish it. And many ulama, many of the scholars have established it too. The aura of a woman, many of the women think that it is from their navel to their knees too, like the men. But this is the aura between a man and a man. Outside salah. Because in salah, he must cover something from his shoulder. At least place something on the shoulder. Each of the two. The best is to cover everything. But when it comes between two women, many women think that their aura is between their knees to their navels. So they are not shy to expose all the rest of the places to fellow women. They say, it's not a woman like me. He, after all, is not my aura. You must be shy in the first place if it is permissible. But the fact is that it is not permissible because it is from your aura also. The aura between a woman and a woman is the aura between that woman and her brother. The aura between two women is the aura between that woman and any one of her maharim. So where a fellow woman can see in a woman is where her father or her brother or her uncle or her foster brother, as the case may be, can see in her. And that is from the, which is considered the best of what can be said on it, the Athar of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah. That Al-Imam al-Bihaqi and Al-Imam al-Tabari have recited. And its chain of translation is Hassan. That when Abdullah ibn Abbas was asked regarding the verse in Surah An-Nur, that وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. That he said that the zina that they are not supposed to expose is the chest and their palms. And he said, alayhi rahmatullah, radiyallahu anhuma, that إِلَّا لِمَنْ دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. That except to those who come up unto them, into them, from the men. No man will come into a woman except what? The mahram. Because it is this fourth zina that Allah started to mention. But illa li bu'ulatihinna aw aba'ihinna aw abina'ihinna aw ikhwanihinna aw bani ikhwanihinna aw bani akhwatihinna aw nisa'ihinna. So there are fellow women like them. So Shibi said that wallahi dina zina tahunna, that Allah said they should not expose any of their zina. And he said that this zina is that face and the palm. That those people to whom they can expose this face are those people mentioned then. Because they are the ones that regarding which Allah is saying, illa li bu'ulatihim, their husband's name. So on that he mentioned in the verse, the surah to know. This affair is authentic. He will say it is denable to the mean, that is the affair of a woman to a woman. Bring evidence. He will say, anything you say, just bring the evidence. Because the tafsir of a companion of a verse of the Quran, if its chain of narration is authentic, it is hujjah, except we find another thing from another companion. Allahu Akbar. So, those who say that the aura of a woman to a woman is between her navel and her knees, shyness should make that woman not to expose those other parts to her fellow women. Shyness. Even when she should not do it rightly. But if she says, oh, what I know, this is what I know, and the knowledge of this that just been mentioned does not has not reached her, she does not know it. And yet she exposes all of those things that have been mentioned. Then we say, oh, shyness should make you cover all these things. Because from what makes a man cover up his aura, or a woman cover up his her aura, is shyness. A man came to the Prophet, this hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud, alayhi salatu wasalam, and asked him, if I'm traveling with a group of people, should I expose my private of my aura to them? He said, no, don't expose it to them. And he began to ask, make sure you don't expose it. The Prophet was saying, don't expose it. He said, what if I'm taking my bath alone? He says, Wallahu ahakku an yustahya min. Allah has a greater right to be shy of. It does not mean that it is obligatory to cover our aura when we are taking our bath. But it is better to cover it, even when you are alone in the bathroom, because of this hadith. If you do it, it will be considered to be from being bashful or shy of Allah, because of that statement of the Prophet. It says, Wallahu ahakku an yustahya. Allah has a great right to be shy of. It means when you are covering your aura from those other people, you are covering because of what? Because of shyness. Shyness demands you, as a matter of obligation, in their cases, to cover your aura. But when you are alone in the bathroom, as a matter of what? Recommendation. That you cover the aura. Wallahu ahakku anistahi. So the one who does not have any haya, she comes out and she is exposing. Because this thing is very common, especially women in the hostel. But in house. Say, are you not fellow women? Fellow women, so I should not be shy. And it's also common with men too. In the hostel, you see, but the chest up. You know those chest up dresses they wear? The chest up. So when some people are coming, you quickly put on jalabiya. People are coming. This is haya. But what about those other people who are with you in the hostel? You don't need, have a need to be shy of them. It is not when the Amir is coming to visit you, as they say. It is not when the Amir is coming to your room that you should, you know, be shy of the Amir yen as well. So, kawani fula, kawani kaba. No. You should be shy to when those other people are there. No serious Muslim should come out to wear something that is showing his chest, showing his muscles. And you say, ah, Ustaz, you have chest. They say, ah, inshallah, alhamdulillah. Allahu ahakku an yustahya. You must be shy. You must be shy too. There are also cases where people, some people, if they show the fleshy part behind their chin, what is it called in English? The fleshy part. Is it the calf? I don't know what it's called. If they show it, it's somehow, it's you know, reddish, attractive and all of this. Avoid to show it. Always to cover yourself up all the time, even if it's not from your aura, because it is from the things you should be shy of. So get something that you need to do to be shy. You see the leg of brother, so cover it. So the third meaning, as we were saying, is that if there is something regarding which we have not found a prohibition for, we have not found anything that indicates it being disliked, and we have not seen it from the things that people detest, they don't like to see, or people are shy of when they see from you, do it if you like. Do you understand? So 3 minutes. The first one is warning you that if you do what you like, I will deal with you. The second one is saying that it is those who are not shy that will be doing what they like. And the third one makes us understand that when there is no shyness involved, then the person is free to do as he likes in that situation. Shyness as regards Allah and shyness as regards human beings. We have already divided that in the explanation. It means there are two forms of shyness. Shyness that is connected with Allah. And that is that which is mentioned in the Hadith of Jibreel. وَأَنْتَ عَبُودَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْكَ. This shyness regarding Allah. And then shyness regarding human beings. Because he asked him, alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked him about Islam. So ulama said the Islam that was mentioned by the Prophet in that Hadith is Islam regarding Allah, that the Prophet had explained. But there is also ihsan regarding human beings. That is by giving somebody sadaqah, being nice to people, you know, assisting them as much as you are able. And all of this, which is from ihsan. And that one is not contained in that hadith. And ta'bud Allah. So he's talking about that to make ibadah proper in that hadith, in the hadith of Jibreel. So the same thing, shyness has to do with Allah, and shyness has to do with other human beings. Shyness with Allah is regarding prohibitions and dislikes. Don't be shy to make Allah see you fornicating. Be shy of it. I'll be fornicating Allah with you. Be shy. Be shy of it. Be shy to shake a lady. If someone on campus is, it's my classmate. Be shy of it. Things that are prohibited and things that are disliked, from why somebody must leave it, is because of shyness. So that is shyness with Allah. And shyness with human beings. If somebody to be known, it may even be connected to the truth. Somebody is known as a liar, be known for lies. So you see, he would have destroyed his shyness regarding Allah and regarding people. When Abu Sufyan was being asked questions while he was standing before Kisra, and he was told, it was that someone should stand behind him. He said, if you are not that, the people will return and begin to say Abu Sufyan is a liar, would have lied. In this case, it's not lying because of Allah. It's not, you know, refraining from lying because of Allah. He's refraining from lying because of shyness of human beings. And that's why he didn't find it as any problem to make shirk, to be a mushrik. Because he was shy of being considered. The same thing, Arabs used to be shy of a man who can't take care of visitors. Arabs, from their culture, you can't take care of visitors. So, but today, most of the people are shyness, they don't like shyness. And the shyness in the people are lost from many angles. You have a child from age 5, 6, the child begins to mix up in the nursery and primary, especially in the primary. They make children lose shyness. There are reports, those of you teaching in nursery and primary schools, you know, where I served, a brother informed me he was teaching in one of the schools, primary 3. You see children in primary schools writing love letters to themselves. They are not surprised. So. Yes, it's occurring. They are worse things. So they lose the shyness with which they were coming from their fitra, from all these things. So they train like that. They go to a mid school, Nigerian Turkish school. Then they ask you, ah, they are paying 300,000 there. Your child comes out and he does not have any shyness. Not even for you. Say, my son, you say, I will not do. That is what you have spent your 300,000 naira for. The same child gets to the university. When they want to destroy these children, they send them to Britain and England, US, British College of Accountancy. They lose everything called higher. They are not ashamed of themselves. So they can say anything to anybody, even their parents. If it is not that somebody has lost higher, how can a child call his father and say, Father, I don't have anything to do with you again, you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Father, me and you, for now, no more any alako. When Allah says, وَقَدْ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَقُلْ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That is the father you are telling that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He says, man shakara Allah. He says, because Allah says, anishkurni wal walidayk. He says, man shakara Allah, wala yashkuru li walidayhi, fala yukbal minhu. Someone says, I'm grateful to Allah. So the person who carries that kind of a bomb, he's thinking, I want to do it for the sake of Allah. But you also call your parents. The man came out at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to go to jihad with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his parents, they are crying. Then they are crying, say, go back and make them laugh. Don't go for jihad. Those are the two friends you call and say, Papa, I don't have any problem with you. Today, you are not your son, and you will not see me again. Drop the phone. The next thing they hear that you want to bomb Detroit aeroplane. Those parents destroy those children in the first place. From the beginning, go and look at their pictures on the net. How when they were going to school? What kind of children were they dealing with? Were they relating with? The same boy, go and look at them. What kind of people were they? Were they their fellow students? These guys, vagabonds, kuffar. You see how they dress? See how he himself was dressing? So he lost every haya. No any shame with Allah. Is that when he will be shameful of his parents or human beings? Now they are saying, oh, we want him. You want him and destroy him. You prepare his destruction. So, somebody must be shy. And the one who is not shy, there is nothing he will not be able to do as a second meaning point. He will do anything that he likes. And they have a terminology. They say, I know sense. Because you are mad. You are already an animal. I know sense. So you are already a madman. So they do what they like. So all these things too have destroyed people. The school's parents have sent children to destroy them. When they say Allah says separate, they say no, we don't want to separate, leave them. At least they will socialize. They socialize and get destroyed. So when you get told as a father, your child go and dump you in old people's home. That is, he's not shy now. They are socialized. And dump you in old people's home. Okay, so be social. All of these things that people do destroy their fire. From that is the TV and films people watch. One of the teachers in one of the Islamias, I was talking to him 5 years ago, said, all these girls in your mature girls, grown up, with niqab on their faces, here. I said, all these people, you are lucky to be teacher of all these people. They are memorizing Quran. He said, Ustaz, the more Quran that is in their head, the more music. In fact, in his view, they know more music than Quran. They tell you all the names of the musicians in the whole north. If you want the abroad, the foreign ones too, they tell you. Unfortunately, now there are phones upon which they record all these things. Buy CD, load it with music. They read the Quran a little bit, they put the Jamaraya there. So they are funny. All the heads of people now, music and films. Because I don't know a film now that they do that there must not be romance there. They even divide it, filmmakers. You see, there will be romance, there will be action, there will be So they give everyone 20% romance, 30%. Those are what the children are. They stay glued to the TV and they watch from a very young age. Destroy their haya. And people who have children, female children in their houses, they don't make them wear hijab. They say they will not find because they are not wearing hijab. So from a very early age, the girl is trained to wear tight-fitted clothing. From very little age, children wear armless. The father saying, you are skimpy now. You will regret that skimpy later. So people have destroyed their children thinking that they are getting them to be socialized through all these means and others. Because they themselves in the first place, they are not shy of themselves. They are not ashamed. So when people are not shy, they are not shy about Allah, as this hadith portends, that إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِ وَسْنَمْ أَحِيِ. It is those who are not shy. So you see, all the three meanings are correct, as the ulama say, rahimahumullah. All the three meanings are correct. And because they are not shy and they are doing what they like, Allah to إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Allah is waiting for them too. As they are doing what they like, Allah is waiting for them too. For some of them, it is from this dunya they will begin to suffer depression. Because they chose to do what they like. Allah will do with them too. Because they say, Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. What they like too, from what Allah likes too, from his punishment is what he will do to them. So, when people started to go to river, the Hebrews of this world, they thought that the world has ended, that nothing will happen. Allah says, Yam hakullahu da. Dr. Ahmad Gumi should know here now that Allah has destroyed river. When he was saying that, you people saying that Dr. Yam hakullahu river, he restored that God. You see it now. 3 days ago, they seized about 500 billion naira from her, Cecilia Hebrew. It's on the news. It's on the news. They seized about 32 houses, about 12 in the U.S. They started mentioning it. Victoria Island, Ikoyi, U.K., think of it. So she's left it worse now. Even if she's left it, the double of that, 500 billion naira. What's her name? Like, where did she get it? From where? People like that, it is that depression, they will leave it for the rest of their lives. What they had earned with them. That time they are not shy, they think they also have the money. So anyone who is not shy of Allah, Allah will give it him to or her. The case will be. Except that person seeks for forgiveness and Allah just forgives him. Or Allah leaves him so that more people will fall into. He says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. So we must be shy of Allah by running away from what he says we should leave, his muharramat. And we must leave the makruhat too. And then we must hold on to those things that are obligatory. From being shy of Allah is that Allah says, Aqimus Salah. And now you are praying. You be shy of Allah. Well, Aqimus Salah, you not pray, you are not shy of Allah. So you do what you like. You say, Hayya ala salah, it is football you are going to watch. Manchester, I will pray later. Is that not what they say? Then he, I look at him, Zorba, I pray, look at him, Bari Mungama. But he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, that inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaba mawqut. When he said that in Nisa, he was saying it while talking about war and salat during war. How to perform the salat during war. And as soon as he finished saying how we should perform, he says, Inna salat akan, because the salat must be performed. During war, too. There is no war now. People are watching God. He said, no, we don't have time now. So that's what will prevent them from performing the salat in the congregation in the masjid. They are watching football. Because they are not ashamed of themselves. They've lost everything called haya on them. In the same way, their iman goes down. Because haya is from iman. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wal haya'u shu'batun min al iman. He said, haya is a section, is a part of iman. When the haya is lost too, the iman is gone. It's going to the extent of the washing away of the haya. So the more the haya goes, the more the iman goes. In the narration, it was said that a companion was telling another companion, "See now, you are shy. You miss so thing. You miss so thing. You can't let that happen." Tell him not to be shy. Says, "فَإِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ." Because to be shy is from iman. And haya does not bring anything. It says, "الحياء كله خير." Haya, all of it is good. Don't lose mind that if it is haya, you leave or do something because of haya, being shy, you will not lose. Those things you think have missed, you will come back to you. Haya, to be shy. So one must be shy. So one must be shy in the matters of prohibition, one must be shy in the matters of dislikes. One must be shy to abandon something that is obligatory. You must be shy not to abandon it. And then one must be shy also to abandon the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. You must be shy. How they say Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to eat with his right hand, you will eat with your left. Are you not ashamed of yourself? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his lower garments, his garments do not exceed his ankles. Are you not ashamed of yourself by your own inside? I need to tell the people why we are younger than this. You see, there are some people called Celestial Church, followers of who? Oshoba. Oshofa. These people, they can walk from here to Ngwarini on their feet, bare feet, not wearing anything on their legs. And it is said that this man is not wearing shoes because he has an infantiasis. He has swollen feet. He cannot get a shoe that will get to his side. So he banned wearing shoes. Allah Allah. And people are following him. So if people who follow Oshofa as unreasonable as even that is, they are not shy to go on barefoot, why should those who follow the Prophet Muhammad, why should they be shy to leave their beard? Why should they be shy not to, you know, raise? Why should they be shy that I can't raise my child? Why are you shy? Why should a woman be shy to veil her face? Don't be shy. Veil it. Haya. She veils her face. That's from haya. Being shy. So I don't want to wear black. Companions wore black more. Females wore black more. So don't be shy. And black is after. It's more covering for you. Less attractive. So wear black more. From higher. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Inna mimma adraka an-nasu min kalam an-nubuwwati al-ula idha lam tastahyi tasna ma shi'." So it has come like that. It didn't start in the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's dear that all the time, the anbiya that came were always talking about haya, 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 being shy, being shy. Being shy, or bashful. But that does not mean that you have a question you want to ask, you start shaving, you say, ask, you say, "Oh, I'm shy." Don't be shy, ask your question. Or there is something you need to do. They say you are in a place where 50 people are there, two of you are Muslims, you want to perform salah, you say you are shy. There is no any shyness there. The shyness you should display is for Allah, by performing the salah. So don't be shy. The women at the time of the companions, they would ask their questions. The Prophet spoke well of those women, the women of the Ansar. The shyness does not make them avoid to ask what they want to ask. They will ask. the answer to the question. Is it true that women too have seminal fluids? And when he answers, they call the ring and start telling him how should it be when we know, how do we know that we have ended our menstruation? So much that they could tell him that, subhanAllah, the day he was urging women to come for Eid, all the women should come for Eid. One of them said, Ishdana, la yakuna laha jilbab. Some of us don't have jilbab, jilbab, the wear, what we call hijab. So we don't have, the woman tell that to a messenger of Allah. He say, please come for us, Eid. He say, Prophet, please, we don't have jilbab. If she's shy, she will not say that. The woman says she doesn't. Can another woman, Fatima, been to Sheba? She comes to the Prophet last time. She said, can I use the jilbab that I have used for menstruation also for Salah? She said, yes, but wash if there are blood stains from menstruation. Watch it. Because he said, because some of us don't have more than one. One hijab like this. Some of us, we have women with 20, 30. But for every dress they sew, one hijab. Black or tomash, as the case may be. It's common in this part of the country. Tomash. So Haya should take some of those things away. We should not be dressing to show that we are neat. No. Women should come. The absolute for women is that don't meet outside. Cover everything up. If you open it, yes, we see the those who have the right to see. There is a brother. He says, each time he goes out, we were very young when he said this thing. I'm sure I've not married at the time. He said, oh, brothers. He said, there's one thing he enjoys in his wife. He said, when he goes out, he's not seeing her face. He said, well, when they come back into the house, the first thing he wants to see is, is this still my wife? He said, he quickly, he will be the one to open her face and say, is this still the one? Is she still the same wife that I went out with? Did they change his position? So women should avoid dress to kill. Some women dress in the hijab and they are still wanting to kill. I mean that. When you are outside, it's dressed to cover. When you are inside, kill anybody you like inside. Kill the man inside the house. That's your own problem. But outside, don't kill people. Don't come and cause problem outside. That's why he said, alayhi salatu. Al-mar'atu awratun. All of the women our nudity. Iza kharajat min baytiha ashrafaha shaytan. When she goes out of her house, shaytan makes her look kulamati to herself and to the one looking at her. There is no woman like you. So she will be like this. If she believes that he's telling her wahiyo, you are the most beautiful. She will do like this. Your shoe is fine. She will turn. Like that. Each thing she does to entice the onlookers, it is Iblis that is telling her to do it. From this hadith. And those men looking at her too, they too are not ashamed. Allah says, they forget that one, so they start looking at her. It is Iblis that catch them like that. So they will not be able to remove their head. They'll be looking at her. They say, look at this, look at that, look at that. It is Iblis that will be telling him where he will look in her. And he will be telling her how she will display to look at. It is grabbing the looker and the one who has adorned her, the poor region. It is because people have lost being shy. Al-Haya. People do what they like. Prophet said, alayhi salam, inna mimma adraka an-nas, from what the people have met, min kalamin nubuwwati al-ula, from the words or the expressions that the prophets who came before, foremost among the prophets, what they came with is what? Iza lam tastahi, the one who will not be shy, tasna ma shay, will do what he likes, or if you are not shy, do what you like and see what I will do to you. Or those who do what they like, are those who lack shyness. That's the case maybe. So we ask Allah to make us understand this hadith better than it has been said. It is said in Rawah al-Bukhari. This, the author, the brother who did the tahqiq of my own copy said that in some nusakh it is contained that we are Muslim. Do we have anybody whose nusakh says we are Muslim? Rawah al-Bukhari. That is the correct thing. Imam Muslim has not reported that hadith. Abu Dawud, Ahmad, Tabarani reported it. But Muslim, no. But the one who did this tahqiq, he said, Zada fil maqtut, dalun, wa Muslim. He said, he has one of the manuscripts which, upon which he depended, said that there is an increment of and Muslim. But the hadith has been reported by Bukhari alone. So ask one funny question. We used to say, وَهُوَ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ وَهُوَ حَسَنٌ أَوْ صَحِيحٌ for other narrations, but today we have not said it. Why? Why is Sahih from the reports of Al-Imam Bukhari? Once you read Al-Bukhari, we know. But is it every book that Al-Imam Bukhari wrote that contains authentic hadith? How do we know that this one is talking about Al-Bukhari? They didn't say Sahih al-Bukhari. If you read al-Bukhari, it could be in Adab al-Mufrad, it could be in Khalq al-Aqal al-Ibad, it could be in Rafu al-Yadin, it could be in other books, Qiraatu Khalq al-Imam, in other books. So if it is not in Sahih al-Bukhari, it should be said in Susan. Well, as long as it is Sahih al-Bukhari, it is just said Rawah al-Bukhari. If it is in any other book apart from Sahih al-Bukhari, they will say in Kususu place, or Huwa Sahih, or Hasan, or as the case may be, Daif. Allahu Akbar. If there are one or two questions, I'll first ask my own question. If there are one or two questions, inshallah, you can just ask them. Wa alaykum as-salam. I would have preferred question that's connected to it. Okay. If there are people who have questions relating to what we have said, we prefer them. They will come back to you, inshallah. Wa alaykum as-salam.
I want to know the name of Kunya.
Kunya. Okay. Kunya means you have, there are different ways of naming in Islam. In other places, they say write your name. They just say, if you are from Igbo, for example, they will just say, my name is Ezekiel Okunkwo. Ezekiel is his own name. He is a Christian because there are Muslims too. Or let's say, if it's Shu'aib Okunkwo, this Shu'aib is his own name. Okunkwo is his father's name. In other places, I've met some brothers from some parts of the Arab world. They will tell you that you need 4 to 5 names in your own places if you are filling a form, for example. So you say you are, for example, Ahmad Ibn Isa, Ibn Musa, Ibn Idris. So let me say you are Ahmad Ibn Isa, there are junior Ahmad Ibn Isa. So you'll be mentioning 3, 4, almost 5 names before, okay, you are the one. So in different places and with different people, there are ways of naming. Inside Islam, there are ways of taking names, and there are different kinds of names. So one of them is take your own name. If you are Abdullah, you are Abdullah. If you are Ismail, you are Ismail. That's your name. They refer to that one as Ism, name. There is what they also call Lakob. You can refer to that one in English as a nickname. You know, in places like in the US, in the UK and all that, they have nicknames. The man's name is James Boyle. That's his name. But he can have a nickname DJ or JB. That's why I call him just his nickname. In Islam, so you can pick up a nickname. Just look for one nice nickname, pick it up. That's a second way of naming. That's also what is referred to as Nisbah affiliation. Nisbah can take different forms. It can be your work, the job you are doing. If you are a tailor, they can give you hayati. You understand? If you are a carpenter, they give you najari. And all of this, a name that is connected to your job. It could be a name that is connected to your place of residence, like this companion we mentioned. But his name is what? One of his names is what? Al-Badri. Because he lives inside the Badr. So, he says, I'm sorry because it's from the Ansar. The name of your tribe is also mentioned. This kind of one is referred to as what? Nisba. Then the fourth one we mentioned is Kunya. That one is by saying, if your name is Isa, you have a son, your first child's name is Ibrahim. So we will call you Abu Ibrahim. Do you understand? We will say you are Abu Ibrahim, that is Ibrahim's father. Like in the East, they used to say Papa Michael, Papa Joe, Papa Ezekiel. That is the meaning, equivalent of saying Abu Ibrahim, that is Papa Ibrahim. Instead of saying Papa Ibrahim, say Abu Ibrahim. So it means that man whose name is Shu'aib, if he wants to write his name, he will say Abu Ibrahim Shu'aib ibn Isa ibn Fulan. Abawi. He is from Aba. Do you understand? So, if you say Kunya, it means attaching Abu to something. If it is a woman, she say Umu, that's Mama something. Umu Abdullah, Umu Isa, Umu Shu'aib, Umu Muhammad, Umu Ibrahim. So that is her own Kunya. It's one of the ways of taking names in Islam. So in one Muslim, you can see his name will fool the whole jam form. You'll be asking for more space inside jam form. Yes, his name is Abu Abdurrahman, Muhammad ibn Ishaq, ibn Yaqub, ibn Ibrahim, ibn... Then he starts asking Al-Ansari, Al-Jabawi, Al-Wee-Wee-Wee-Wee, it goes on. Do you understand? It's one of the things Muslims enjoy. Since history, through the history of Islam. So that is the meaning of kunya. English people call it agnomen. But if you go and look for the meaning of agnomen, it does not accurately describe that word kunya. The word agnomen does not properly describe kunya. So let's just leave the word kunya like that. Allahu Akbar. Next and last question, then we come back to the brother, inshallah. Yeah, if there is no way of knowing them, like Al-Imam Al-Aswad or Masruq, it's from the Tabi'un. In fact, it's from Muhabbamun, Imam Masruq. Masruq means the one who was stolen. It was said that he was stolen when he was a young boy. They call him Masruq. He became popular with it. He is from the companions of Abdullah ibn Masruq. And others like Imam Al-A'mash, Sulaiman ibn Mihran, and others too. So some of them detested the name, like Imam Al-A'mash. Masruq too detested the name. He didn't want them to call them those names. But the ulama says that is what by which they are known. If you talk to somebody and you say Sulaiman ibn Mihran, he will not know him unless you say Al-A'mash. Say Al-A'mash. Because you have not intended to castigate him by so saying. You have not intended to insult him by so saying. You have not intended to say any evil about him. But if he does not mind it, then there is nothing wrong. Like Abu Huraira, the father of a cat, small cat, small female cat. He didn't mind it. In fact, he likes to be called that. Even when he preferred Abu Har. But he was called Huraira. It means he would dislike being called Huraira too. Abu Huraira too. If they don't dislike it, we can call them. But if they dislike it and there is no way to identify them, or it is easy for those who want to identify them to identify them by that, it is permissible to call them that. Allahu Akbar. Guiding what?
Shaving the head of the baby.
You shave the head. And you make sadaqa with the silver equivalent, the weight of the silver equivalent of the head, of the hair. You weigh the hair, if it is 1 gram. You go and weigh 1 gram of silver. You convert it to money and you make sadaqa with it. On the seventh day. Except if it is found that it is not possible. Some children are born premature. If you shave the head, some things can happen to them. Am I correct? So you leave them until they can sustain that. But because there is a barura preventing. Else, seventh day, shave the hair. It's from the rites of the seventh day that we give birth to a child. So on that day, we slaughter a ram for the child. And on that day also, we name the child. If you have not named the child from the first day, you name the child on the seventh day. And then you shave the hair too on the seventh day. Allahu Akbar.
A woman that during Ramadan, she not to shave after 7 days, and it's almost a
month. Is it certain that if they shave, anything will happen to the child?
No.
They should have shaven. But they have not shaven, they could still shave the hair. Because the hair is considered from al-adha. Silt. They should shave the hair. In fact, there are some of the scholars or some of the madrasas who say that if that hair touches the clothes, but that's not authentic. But you should shave the hair. Still shave it. But if it were sure that if you shave the hair, something happened to the girl, then shave the hair for a boy. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. We'll stop here, inshallah. SubhanAllah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له